The race for Wisconsin governor has topped headlines this election season, but Wisconsin Democrats are also vying for control of the state Senate, which they say is in play.
Although all 99 state assembly seats are up for election, by most counts, that chamber is likely to remain solidly in Republican control. There are 17 Senate seats up for election, and it looks like three of those seats will decide which party takes the chamber.
Analysts say the numbers favor Republicans, but that a Democratic majority is not out of the question. Here to talk about the Wisconsin Senate race is Patrick Marley. He's state capitol reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Patrick, good to have you back with us.
Thanks for having me on, Rob.
Well, first, let's hit the assembly side. Why is that not in play?
The assembly has 99 members in all right now. The Republicans control 60 of them, so Democrats would really have to have a very incredible night that even the most optimistic Democrat is not contending as possible. In 2011, Republicans controlled all of state government, and they drew new maps for the legislative districts, as all states do every decade. And as majorities tend to do, they drew maps that are in their favor, and in the assembly particularly, it is a very difficult chance for the Democrats to take control of that house in any environment.
Turning to the Senate side, is the same story true for at least most Senate districts, apart from the ones we're going to key in on here?
Yeah, they definitely improved the map for the Republicans in the Senate as well. In fact, you know, right now the Republicans control the Senate 17-15. Really, it's 18-15. There's just a vacancy right now of a very Republican seat. And with this election, a seat in Racine that was dramatically redrawn is really not being contested. It will go from Democratic to Republican. So the Democrats start out with another seat deficit heading into this election because of the way the map is drawn there.
So the math says they need three seats, and there are three seats where they have one thing in common: a Republican incumbent is not running again. So that means
right.
Those are maybe in play?
Yeah, there are three seats that have really been up for contention. You're right that the incumbent is not there in all of them, and that is what the focus is, especially on two of those three for this final days of the election.
Let's take those each in turn, and I've printed off a map from the Journal Sentinel that does a nice job illustrating where they are. Let's start in District 17 in southwestern Wisconsin. Dale Schultz, a Republican, regarded as moderate, at least on some issues, is not running again. So what's the story of that race?
So Dale Schultz has definitely been a thorn in the side at times of Republicans because he has bucked them on some key issues, such as the collective bargaining changes that they made a few years ago. He voted against that. He voted against regulations to streamline, environmental changes that would make it easier to put a mine up north for iron mining. He voted against that and scuttled that bill for a time. Later, they were able to pass it. He's leaving. State Representative Howard Markline is running. He's a Republican, considerably more conservative than Dale Schultz. And Pat Bomhack is sort of a newer comer to politics. Originally was running for the Assembly, now running for the Senate. Of all of the districts that are currently held by Republicans, by the numbers, favors Democrats. It's sort of their best opportunity. By a Republican analysis, that on a generic ballot is a 52% Democratic seat.
And when you say by the numbers, I mean, we're doing things like looking at votes in past elections. This is not, the state Senate level is not usually something we have really good polling on. Is that right?
Right. There's been no public polling that I know of in any of these races, so that's right. Both sides do an analysis where they take a district and they look at what happened in the Bush versus Kerry election, what happened in both of the Obama elections, what happened in the attorney general's races, and then after crunching a number of election cycles through that, they come up with sort of a generic number for that district that favors one party or the other. As I said, this is from a Republican analysis, and they say that that seat has a 52% Democratic advantage. Now, you know, the quality of a candidate depends on a lot of this, the mood of the electorate, there are a lot of factors. We're seeing a lot of spending in that race. Howard Markline is a very effective fundraiser. He's raised $450,000 in this election, which is a very large sum in a legislative race. That compares to $131,000 that Bomhack has raised And, of course, there's third parties on both sides running ads for and against each of the candidates.
Is that a common theme in all three of the seats that we're talking about, that unusually large amounts of money are coming into them?
Well, there's, you know, spending goes up every cycle, it seems, and, you know, the money sort of gets targeted in particular races. So you see, you know, many races where there's no spending, and then the ones that are both sides agree are the ones where the action is. You see a lot of money flooding in there, both from, you know, the candidates do a good job of fundraising, and you see the outside groups coming in.
Well, let's go east a bit into the Fox Valley. A longtime institution, really, in the Senate, Michael Ellis, not running again. What is the story of the race to replace him?
So Ellis originally announced that he was going to run again. He's been in office since the 1970s. Penny Bernard Schaber, a member of the Assembly, was challenging him. Ellis later decided to not seek re-election after a video came out of him saying some things about forming an outside election group that would have been illegal, and he dropped out of the race. Roger Roth, a former member of the Assembly and the nephew of Congressman Toby Roth, got in the race. That looks to be a very close election on the money side. They're very similarly situated. Roth has the edge, having raised $360,000. Penny Bernard Schaber raised $295,000. Again, we're seeing advertising up there. I would say this, in combination with the Schultz seat, is really where the bulk of the spending and the focus has been. That seat is sort of the flip side of the Schultz seat in terms of its the advantage for which party. It's a 52% Republican seat versus the Schultz seat being a 52% Democratic seat.
And briefly before we go to the news, the other one, Joe Lipum, not running. He had run for Congress, lost the primary. Is that seen as a realistic prospect for Democrats?
That is a seat that's even more Republican than the Ellis seat. It's about a 55% seat. The Democrats were very excited about the candidate they recruited there. Her name is Martha Laning, and they felt that she had been able to do a good job reaching out to Republicans, had a more moderate position than some other Democrats. But, you know, by the numbers, a very, very tough seat, and I think that that is the Democrats are now conceding that that is less likely that they can win that one.
We're talking about the state Senate race with Patrick Marley. He's the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel state capitol reporter. The Assembly looks like it's going to remain solidly in Republican control, but Democrats have hopes if they can take especially the three seats that we're talking about, and we'll go into those in some more detail coming up. Democrats hope they have a chance to take over the Senate. We'll talk about what that would mean, what either Democratic control of the Senate would mean or continued Republican control after we go to the news.
And we'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Are you following the Senate race in your district, and do you feel like your district seat is in play? Do you have questions about the implications of a Democratic state Senate? You can call us at 800-642-1234 or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Stick around. There's more to come on Central Time. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're back with Patrick Marley, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel state capitol reporter, talking about the state Senate race. The Assembly looks poised to remain solidly in Republican control, but Democrats may have a shot at a majority in the Senate.
You can join our conversation at 800-642-1234. Are you following a legislative race in your area, or does it seem like it's so one-sided it just doesn't matter? Are you worried about the way redistricting works in Wisconsin that it might make your vote not matter when it comes to legislative elections? Are you in one of the swing districts? How much advertising are you seeing for your local state Senate campaign? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Patrick, is the governor's race really kind of sucking the air out of even these key state Senate races?
Well, it always does. I mean, you know, in any election, the most important races are the ones that everybody focuses on, from the average voter to the media. And you'll hear people running for the assembly always complain about they can't get their message out. They can't get voters to hear what they're saying. You're even seeing it in the race for attorney general, a very important job. You know, 70% of voters said in the poll yesterday that Marquette released that they didn't have enough information to form an opinion favorably or unfavorably of either of the two candidates. So, yes, the governor's race absolutely dominates here, and the down-ballot races have the perennial challenge they do of getting voters to even know who they are.
And there's been some talk, mostly from political reform advocates, of changing the way redistricting works, but are they voices in the wilderness? Is anybody in the political world or the public, for that matter, paying attention?
Well, I mean, I think attempting to get redistricting reform done is very difficult. The Democrats are recently on board with this, or they say that they are, but you've got to remember that in the session before the new maps were drawn, the Democrats controlled the governor's office and both houses of the legislature. They had full opportunities to put in place whatever kind of redistricting reform they thought was a fairer way or a more democratic way to do it. They did nothing. They didn't do anything to address that issue in hoping that they would be in control of state government, but in 2010 they were wiped out of office. Republicans took total control, used the powers that they had to draw maps that were incredibly favorable to them, and now the Democrats say that they want to change the system.
But they had their shot in a way.
That's what I'm saying. It's very difficult to do because, you know, lawmakers themselves are the ones who draw the lines in Wisconsin, and you have to get lawmakers to change that system if the system is going to change. And it's always difficult for anybody, no matter where they're, what their political beliefs are, to be willing to give up power.
Now, suppose Democrats do manage to take the state Senate. What does that mean for politics? It would be a break on the Governor Walker, if he's the governor, or a help for Governor Burke, if she is. But they wouldn't really be able to change anything that's been done in the last 2 years, would they?
No, they would not. I mean, you would essentially have gridlock. It would be similar to what we have right now at the national level, because you'd have one house in one hands and the other house in the other hands, because, as we said, the assembly is going to stay in Republican hands. So essentially, the state could probably pass a budget, but little else, unless they compromised or they found some common area to rally around. But on the big issues that we've been hearing about, you know, like the minimum wage or tax cuts, it would be very hard for them to see eye to eye on that or to reach some kind of half loaf on those issues. I think you'd have to settle down for a lot of nothing happening for 2 years.
We'll go now to a caller at 800-642-1234. Cindy joins us in Appleton. Hi, Cindy.
Hello, and I am very concerned about all this gerrymandering, and I think it's time for a grassroots movement by the citizens to get a constitutional amendment to make it so that gerrymandering or any of these lines cannot be drawn by anybody other than a nonpartisan, non-political group of people.
Cindy, thanks. We've heard from other guests pointing to examples of other states that have moved in that direction, Patrick. It does, as you said, seem like maybe a tall order here in Wisconsin, given that the parties aren't taking the lead. Neither of them is.
Yeah, I mean, to change the Constitution, it would be the same as passing a state law. You have to, ultimately, voters decide whether to change the state constitution, but to get it on the ballot, you have to go through the legislature. So that would be sort of a difficult process because you'd have to have lawmakers themselves willing to change the way that they do business.
Well, looking ahead again to another possible outcome, say the Republicans keep the Senate, the Assembly, and the governor's office, have we gotten a sense yet of what their legislative priorities might be in 2015?
Yeah, I think the governor has laid out what he wants to do pretty clearly. You know, he's talking about trying to do more tax cuts. He sees that as a way to spur the economy and to do other things to, as he puts it, get government out of the way of the business community. So easing some regulations. He's made a big priority in this election about doing drug tests for people who get public benefits. I think the governor's agenda will largely be embraced by the legislature if it's still held by Republicans. And so, as you have in most of the last few years, see him getting most of what he wants and really leading the agenda.
And one more possible outcome, Governor Mary Burke, Republicans in the Senate and the Assembly. Do you see any way that they would make, I mean, they have to make a budget, I guess. What kind of compromise horse trading would have to happen to get them to work together?
Yeah, the state budget is the one piece of legislation that everyone tends to agree that the legislature must pass each session. You know, if you have Republicans controlling both houses, they can agree on what they want that to look like. But the governor of the state of Wisconsin has perhaps the most powerful veto powers in the country, and can, you know, change numbers, lowering numbers in the budget, or rewriting wholesale sections of it by crossing out specific words. And so the governor really holds the upper hand in those kinds of budget negotiations. But there are certain things that Mary Burke would want to do that she would not be able to achieve, most likely. For instance, expanding Medicaid to get more people onto the program and accept a lot more federal money. Republicans are very opposed to that because of their opposition to Obamacare. And although she can change what's in the budget, she really can't, you know, add things to it that aren't there. And so I think she'd find much of her agenda blocked by the legislature in that situation.
In presidential election years, it seems like there are some significant coattails. President Obama seems to have had them both of his elections here in Wisconsin. Is there a coattail effect that we know of in state legislative races from a race for governor?
Well, I do, I guess I would say yes, you're not going to see it to the extent that you see at the presidential level, but sure, if the, you know, whichever party carries the day at the top of the ticket or carries the day in a particular district, that's going to serve the a person running for the legislature from the same party very well. So, for instance, we talked about the seat that Dale Schultz is leaving, sort of a Democratic-leaning seat that is held by Republicans right now. And even if Mary Burke loses as the statewide election, she is likely to get the most votes in that Senate district. That would be a help to Pat Bomhack, the Democrat running in that seat.
And I know occasionally in some elections in Wisconsin, we've had split ticket voting. You know, somebody votes Republican for governor, Democrat for Senate, that kind of thing. Do we, and maybe this is drilling down deep here, but do we split tickets voting for a governor and a legislative candidate?
Well, there is a history of some ticket splitting in Wisconsin. There's also been a lot of coverage in our newspaper about the polarization of the state and how the polarization really follows geographic lines. So I think you're probably seeing less ticket splitting. But, you know, candidates and political advisors who run campaigns really tell you that at the legislative level, particularly at the assembly level, who the candidate is and how they can connect with people matters a lot in a way that perhaps it doesn't as you move up the ticket. Because if you're running for the assembly, you know, you're representing perhaps 55,000 people. You do have a chance to connect with a lot of voters on the doors, knocking on doors, in a way that a governor can't. And so you can meet voters and sort of persuade them that you're the type of person, even if they might not agree with your party affiliation, that they trust you. And that might persuade some voters to vote one way for governor and a different way for assembly or Senate.
Well, Patrick, thanks for joining us on what must be a busy week in the run-up to Election Day.
Thanks for having me on.
That's Patrick Marley. He's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel State Capitol reporter talking about the race for control of Wisconsin State Senate. You can continue the conversation on the Central Time Facebook page.